好了，
我的歌挺有意思的哦。
你已经在录了 right？Yes，
我在，我已经在录了。你要选歌
？You know what? I will choose later。
我知道你应该选什么歌。
什么？
不要问我从哪里来，我的故乡在远方。
为什么？为什么我会选这首歌
？You ask us anything 吗？ Oh. 不要问我从哪里来。Oh, another one。不要问我是谁。And then do the hand gesture.
你问我爱你有多深？
Oh, I love that song.
Don't think we'll get a lot of good reviews on iTunes like that. Hey guys, so.Thanks for listening to our podcast.
欸我们 start 了哈。哦、oh, start 了。
欸不是你按的吗
是我按的只是我以为现在在 B-roll 嘛。
哦、
so guys,
well, I wanted to say,、we want to get on iTunes soon.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And we would really appreciate it if we can get you guys to give、us a review on iTunes.、Okay, so、hopefully we can do that soon.
Yes, when we do that, we will alert all of you. Then、你们要 get ready 的齁你们这些小猫对、okay, 还有小白兔们你们要 get ready.
We will activate all of you.
Yes, activate is the word. 、
then you'll have to go and write reviews, but...We won't write your script for you lah、
yeah.
So you can be very honest. You know just tell them、you can write in your review how much you love our podcast、
mm-hmm.
And then that will help us to rise in the charts.
你很 suggestive 咧，你很那种，你很 prompt 人家来 how much you love.
对啊 this is called leading 嘛、
oh, leading
lead people on
yeah,
嘛
this is how much you hate us.
Hey, do you think that there are people who hate people and still go and listen to their podcast?
Yes, they will listen so they can hate on it because they
very
are
free
destroyers.
These kind of people.
They are destroyers.
Oh,
yes.
So don't be a destroyer, be a
creator.
Yes.
With
okay.
love. Yes.
Yeah, the world is already shitty enough already. We yes. don't really need more destroyers, right?
No, so many of them. Too many already.
Okay, I think I found my song already.
嗯
okay.
很好。这样我们可以开始了。我们这集是录什么? Is this a special episode?
Yes.Because we have done some heavy episodes
yeah, so,
recently.
Yeah, so our programming, 我们有 structure 跟 strategy 的就是 sometimes we have a heavy topic and then we want to kind of alternate it with something that is a little bit more lighthearted. Then we also want to have those very teachy kind of episodes where we teach you some things and you can learn. But we also don't want to teachy all the time. Lah. We want、
Not、
to、
long.
Be fun and entertainment because this is edutainment.
Yes.
So today...
So today
Today is the what? Today is a fun one.
Yes, and this episode is called
Ask Us Anything.
I won't ask you from where you come. I know where you're from.
新年又下凡了。
很 irritating 哎、
欸、
！Oh my god，
林仙姑下凡，请问你有什么问题吗
？Okay， this question is from Desiree， right？ Okay， so Desiree asks， how do you keep yourself motivated during your design / creative journey？
这是问我还是问我们两个？
我们两个啦
yeah,
，so you go first 哦。
Okay, so wait, let me take a look at the question.
Not clear, huh?
Okay, so this is from Stranger's Salary, right? Stranger's Salary, the 芹菜啊，不是那个工钱啊。Stranger's Salary, Desiree. And a little bit about Desiree lah. Desiree is an illustrator. I
so you know her?
I went to sleuth on her. No. Stranger one.
Oh.
Stranger 吗 Stranger's Salary 吗
Just now when you said Stranger's Salary I thought you meant that her name is Salary
Oh no she's Desiree
I see
Yeah and then Desiree I went to check out her Instagram and she's an illustrator and she has got really cute curly hair you have to go and see very pretty
huh,
girl
is it?
The hair 真的是很cute 的、
oh.
So the question is how do you keep yourself motivated during design your design and creative journey Okay、so for me if you have already listened to one of our previous episodes about passion I mentioned how passion is actually a practice for、
yes.
me. I'm so practiced at being passionate that I always have this buzzing energy and my vibration is actually quite high. I'm constantly in this state of wanting to create, always very inspired.
It's、right? not the caffeine, right?
It's, well, I don't know. Maybe
it's not the many cups of coffee you consume,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, which I'm drinking right now. I'm、
yeah.
ingesting, imbibing is the word.
Yeah.、
So it could be an agglomeration of all the different factors.、But for me, I think one of the states that I most hate is when I'm uninspired.、 when I don't feel like I have this creative energy or creative spark, because I constantly, I'm a creator and I need to create, and I create to entertain myself.
Right.
I create to connect, yes, you know, with myself. That's when I'm in my best state of flow and zone, right? So because I'm so freaked out whenever I'm not creating or inspired, I do everything I can to continue to stay in that state.
Okay.
Okay. So for me, right, my default state is not one of norm and then I try and be inspired. My default state is inspired. I am inspired all the time.
Right.
And then in the rare occasion, and I'm trying to minimize this even further.
Right.
Once in a blue moon, I am uninspired and I absolutely want to get out of that skin.
Right.
Yeah. So then for me, then what is this practice? Why am I constantly inspired? It's because I think that I've become so good at accepting work and doing work that doesn't even pay. So I've got commercial work that I accept that is joyful. And then there is also work that I do that is joyful that doesn't pay. So for example, the podcast, again, this is a great example, right? I think it's so important as creators, especially when we have to do commercial work, because a lot of it is like really trying to satisfy a client or the brief, and it might not be the, you know, when given free rein, that's not how you would have done it. It is so important for us to have a playground or something that we call the shots. So it's very important for you to have your own creative project where you have 100% autonomy and control.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are the boss. So I have a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
And also, I don't put all my eggs in one basket whereby I just do one or two things. I think a lot of you know that I do a lot of things. That's why I call myself a serial entrepreneur. I do a lot of things. Also, I read a lot of books. I have a voracious appetite. I follow people who are my idols. Like, they are really people I look up to. They do good work. They contribute to the world. They are amazing as human beings, and they inspire me so much. And in fact, I feel like I'm so far away from them. So I constantly feel like, wow, I want to aspire. And this feeling of being inspired and aspiring to be somebody is something that is high vibrational. The frequency is just high. So you are elevated. You wouldn't be conceited. Right. Or you wouldn't be complacent and feel like, oh, I'm good enough. Oh, yes. I've done enough. And this is where I rest. Speaking of rest, rest is also part of my survival kit. So I do this thinking retreat every 3 to 4 months. I go away intentionally to plan and design my work, my business, my life. And I do a lot of self-reflection. And of course, this year is all about managing my brain. So this is how I understand what are the idiosyncrasies of the brain when left to its default mode. And I don't want to be that. I want to be better than that. I want to be able to control, manage my mind. So a lot of mind management skills that I've been trying to learn. And that's how I am able to elevate myself in this creative state and maintain it and sustain it.
Right.
So I hope it answers your question.
Definitely.
Yes. What about you?
Did you prepare for this question?
No, I didn't.
So that was all just normal, like just in a trance.
Is it just
went into a trance?
Yeah, I went into a trance again.
Oh my God.
Yes. So now I'm out of trance, so now it's your turn.
I'm very amazed at Daniel's ability to speak. You know,
really?
Because Daniel speaks very well, and he can think and speak at the same time.
Yes. Actually, very fast.
And very fast, very smooth. Really, you know, and then very meaty also, your content. Aww. Like a lot of wisdom one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Really?
Oh my God, really?
When I watch you, I'm like, oh my God, I need to up my game in talking.
Oh.
In this talking game. Whatever you call it.
It's good. We inspire each other.
Yes.
Okay, so what about you?
Okay, so I feel that we're pretty similar. Because for me also, I have an endless list of things I want to do. So it's not like I'll ever get to the end of my list one. You know, like, so I am also constantly inspired.
So in fact, there's not enough time.
No time.
Yeah.
So when will I ever get a time where I feel like, oh yeah, I already finished everything I want to do, so I don't feel motivated or inspired anymore. No one. Until the day I die, basically. Yeah. So of course, even though my default mode is also inspired, like, oh, a lot of things I want to do, but there are also moments that I don't feel inspired. Like maybe I feel down or like, yeah, nothing seems interesting. But I always know that it's just part of a cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think sometimes my brain just needs to rest. No? Yeah. So then on those days, I don't really force myself to like, oh, you need to be inspired. Because I know that it will come back. Because my default is just like, you know, like I'm just excited and interested in a lot of things. Even though I'm not a very extroverted, like jumpy person, but my heart is very excited all the time. Yeah, about a lot of things that I want to do. The other thing also would be actually, like you said, following other people. So other people inspire me. a lot of people are doing very interesting things, mm. right? Also my idols also. So same as yours. Basically, I just repeat your answer. Mm.
No, and you know what? You know what? I forgot about this. Actually, this is very self-marketing. Listen to podcasts. They are very inspiring.
Totally.
And they really, you know, especially listen to not the ones that are just banter and waste time. No. You got to listen to those that are like ours.
Let's
you know?
Introduce... Okay, so apart from ours, okay, let's introduce a few other good ones. Let's put it in the show notes also.
Yeah, maybe we can do one. Actually, yeah.
Let's do a podcast episode on podcasts.
Podcast, yeah.
Really, because I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm driving. Mm. I feel like, oh my God, it's one of the best things I can do. So recently I bought AirPods, Apple AirPods.
Yes.
You know, I walk everywhere with it, even at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
so I feel
it's,
like
it's unwired, right?
It's very seamless, no?
Correct.
Yeah. So if you are into learning, you don't like to waste your time during commutes and all that, listen to podcasts, listen to audiobooks. Audible is amazing also. Mm. Okay, so let me continue my answer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about is that it's very important also to be encouraged. You know, sometimes we do all these things and we put it out there and we don't get feedback.
Yes.
That gets a bit discouraging.
Yes.
So for me, like I write my newsletter, sometimes I don't really hear back from people.
Right.
But when I do hear back, right, that gives me a boost that can last for a pretty long while.
Yes.
Yeah. And just now Daniel said something to me. He gave me a good tip.
Yes.
Okay, can you say what you said to me just now?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that we all do want to know that we are valued and that our work matters.
And that we're not talking to ourselves.
Yeah, and that people appreciate it. No matter how assured we are of ourselves and how we don't really need people to approve of us, it's always nice when you get this honest pat on the back, you know, for a job well done. It's just nice, which is why I constantly encourage people to compliment other people when you feel like you don't be so gamsiap about your compliments, right? Because we all feel so good when we receive it, so why don't we, you know, make somebody else's day. So what I suggest is that as creators, there will be days when our tire will bong check, you know, and then we don't have that kind of creative energy, or sometimes we start to doubt ourselves, we have imposter syndrome, we start to think whether we're even good at what we do.
Yep.
We're feeling creatively dry. So what you should do is create a folder on your computer or an album on your phone and just screenshot any words of encouragement or acknowledgement or just feedback that is positive, you know, people praising you. Just screenshot it and keep it in your album, clip it, you know, and then it's almost like a little jar. Actually, I do tell my clients to also even physically print out the feedback, cut it up, and then put it into a jar in physical. Then you just collect them like you would collect coins.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a piggy bank, but it's not money. It's a piggy bank of emotional energy and fuel and inspiration and love and appreciation in a beautiful jar. And then on the days where you feel kind of low, energy is low, and you need a little bit of a perk me up, just open it up and read at all this feedback, you know, and it will re-energize you and it will really anchor you back and bring you back to that point where you know and you get reconnected, like, oh, this is why I'm doing this, you know, I forgot.
Yeah, you get reminded.
You get reminded and it's real and tangible.
Yeah.
So two things, start an encouragement jar or album or folder, and also start complimenting other people.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for this very, very good tip.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I think we really forget sometimes.
Yeah.
About our, I don't know, like sometimes we feel a little low in our self-esteem, right?
Yes.
You know, like even if you are like Justin Bieber or like Madonna, right? You already achieve so much. You can still feel...
Imposter syndrome. It affects a lot of people.
Everyone.
Even the pros of pros.
Everyone.
Yes. Even Barbara Streisand says that every time before she goes out to sing, she's got one of the best voices.
Yeah.
And she can sing live, for heaven's sake, right? But every time before she sings, she says that she has anxiety attacks and she has imposter syndrome and she feels like she can't sing.
Okay, so we don't even need to feel bad about feeling bad.
No.
Because it's just normal.
Yes, it's how to pick yourself up. You just realize that this imposter syndrome, it plagues a lot of people and it's normal, but it's how you get out of it when you feel that way.
Yep.
Yeah, so creative energy, I think as creators, it is very precious and we want to be able to maintain ourselves at a high.
I think listening to our podcast, right, is also one way to feel motivated.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then after listening to our podcast, I hope you guys will go out and do whatever that you want to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we can give you that kind of push, you know, and inspire you.
Yeah, and I think we feel very satisfied
when we know that we have created an impact in your
correct,
life as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we hear from you have been trading a lot of between Rebecca and I when we hear from you guys, you know, leaving us love grams or messages here and there on Facebook, on email, on Instagram, from all over we'll collect. Mm. And then we'll just screenshot and send to each other. And immediately you go like, oh my God, this is so good. This is worth it. This is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And it gives us this, it's a propelling this energy and drive for us to want to create even more and even better. So we understand as creators how it feels to get that pat on the back. So all that to say, please continue writing us your love grams. We appreciate it so much.
I think it's not about us also, not just about us, because we do this also to help people.
Exactly.
Right? So if you guys have any projects that you do, right, please tell us about it.
Yes.
We would love to give a shout out, or we would love to support it.
And we really mean it, you know. We're not saying it for we really, really want to connect with you guys.
Yeah.
We want to hear about you, how maybe what we have said allows you to apply it in some way. Or if you have any trouble, any issues, please come bring them to us so we know how to unpack it for you. Because really, you realize that the issues that we face in life is very, very similar.
Yep.
And sometimes, people might be shy and they won't share. But if, let's say, you're courageous enough to share your story or your problems and we share it on the podcast, a lot of people can benefit from that through our coaching and our sharing. And people go like, oh, this is how we do it. And you, by sharing your story and your struggles and experiences, you are able to touch other people's lives as well.
Yes.
Yes. And it feels so damn good. Yes. This is how we all collectively keep the creative energy alive for one another.
Yeah, so get in touch, you know, comment. I think comment is a bit public, right? If you don't feel comfortable doing that, just send us an email or DM us, you know.
And if you want to stay anonymous, just let us know that you would prefer to stay anonymous.
Correct. Yeah? So we can grow together as a community.
Yes.
And hopefully one day we can meet each other in real life.
We will.
We will, yeah, right?
It's not a if, it's a when.
Yes. We have some plans for that.
Yes.
We can talk about that next time because we haven't really have any concrete plans yet.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but we have some inkling of something that we want to do. That is exciting.
Yay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next question. Okay, you read.
Okay, next question is from Cool Zephyr 20, who is Stacy Leong. And a little bit about Stacy, Stacy actually did a social media detox.
Oh,
she
really?
Messaged me DM and she said that one of my posts actually encouraged her to do a social media detox.
Oh,
and she's
cool.
been feeling a lot of anxiety and exhaustion around social media. So I feel like this is something that we definitely need to talk about a lot more so people know that it's normal to feel exhausted around social media.
Mm-hmm.
So she went on a social media detox. So that was a great thing that she did. And then she also said that she heard the How to Stop Worrying episode.
Yeah.
And when I talk about how the worst case scenario is also the best case scenario not happening, the light bulb just went on.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to courageously go on this trip in Japan with her sister, the first time without her hubby. And she decided to rent a car and drive. Because for the longest time, she's been deliberating around whether she should rent a car and drive without the husband.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought
about, quite scary, right?
Yes.
Alone.
And then she thought about all the possible problems that could go on, you know, all the worries, right?
Yeah.
So then when I said the worst thing that can happen is the best case scenario not happening.
Yeah.
So that was when she realized, oh, if I rented the car, then all these other things could have happened as well.
Nice.
The trip, it would be a beautiful trip. So she actually plucked up the courage and rented the car. So I thought that was beautiful. So I think she's actually going on a trip soon.
Oh, okay,
soon. I think I've seen her.
So happy. Yeah.
She got an international driving license approved already. I saw that on her Instagram.
So one life impacted by Daniel.
Yes. And twice. Yeah. Yeah, so she has three questions and I think it's towards the both of us. Yeah, so you can both answer. The first question is, who would you choose to be stranded on an island with and why?
You want to go first?
Yeah, mine is very
simple.
Okay,
you go first, you go
first.
Mine
is very simple. It's just for very selfish reasons. I would choose to have Akina Nakamori. I'm a huge fan of hers and she's called Zhongsheng Mingcai. She's a Japanese singer who was really huge in the 80s and 90s.
Mm.
Still singing now, very old already, about in her 50s.
Okay.
I love her. You see all her posters everywhere right here, right?
Yes, in your room.
In my room. Constantly inspired. Oh, actually, she also gives me a lot of creative energy.
Because she's very creative
herself.
She's
very creative and she's very prolific as a creator, as a singer. I kind of knew her when I was growing up in my formative years.
Right.
And she's always come up with very quality stuff.
Mm.
And it almost affected me. Like, whatever I do, it has to be quality. It cannot be compromised.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so going Akina. Back to that first question. Yeah, so Akina, and the reason why is because she inspires me as a creator. And also I think that I, for very selfish reasons, I just want to be stuck on the island with my idol so that I can help her also get out of the island, you know, and do something for her, you know.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So what about you? Who for you?
Okay, for me, right, I want to be stranded on an island with Carrie Yeo. So Carrie Yeo is my friend, right? Mm. And she's also a singer in Singapore. I don't know whether you guys know of Cha Ban Sheng.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, why Carrie Yeo? Because she's the, maybe apart from you lah, she's the smartest person I know. And I know that if I'm stranded on the island with her, right, she will help me get out of the island.
She's very resourceful and she's very zai.
She's very zai. Yeah. And like her brain moves like 10 times faster
very
than mine.
Fast.
Cause I am always like in my own world, you know, but she's very in the 状况 one.
Yeah.
So she knows what's going on her left, on her right, that kind of thing. And her direction sense is very good. She can go to one place, she can map out the whole thing in her brain. Her brain just like, she's like very smart, lor. I don't know what her IQ is. Yeah.
And I can affirm what you said because I recently got to spend a little bit more time with her, get to know her. So through my observation,
you can tell,
她真的很醒目啊，她真的是很聪明的一个女生。
And you only met her twice, right?
Yes, and I already feel that. Whoa, she's like
you can tell.
She's like clicking at a rate that's even higher than mine. I feel, but probably my rate was like this when I was younger. But I'm more mellow now.
Okay.
But she's always buzzing, doing high vibrational energy and has a lot of energy. Smart, always alert.
Alert. That's the thing. Yes. So when I go out with her, right, I piss her off because
you're slow.
I'm always in my own world. I'm always thinking about my things and daydreaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then maybe we need to go to this particular shop, and I would just walk in any direction, just like walk on. Yeah. Then she'll be like, "Hello, you know, do you know where you're going?" That kind of thing. So I, after all these years, right, I've been trained by her to be more alert. So without her help, I think I would still be very like not alert, Yeah, so I think I would want to be stranded on an island with her.
You guys feel safe and secure.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything, ma. She will just figure everything out for me. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay, then the next question also from Stacey is top three phobias or fears?
Who's interested in this kind of question?
I told you already, our banter sometimes can be long because I think people want to know us.
Really or not?
Yes.
Really got a lot.
They want to know the nitty-gritty details.
Oh, okay. So I realized that when I think about all these things, right, like my fear, right?
What comes to mind first? It doesn't have to make sense. Yeah.
I tell you, that day, this fear, right, this huge fear of mine happened, it became reality. So I really am very scared of cockroaches. That day I went into the lift, right?
And
then
cockroach.
As the lift closed, right, one cockroach came in, and it's the huge kind.
Yes. Oh my
so
God.
I was stuck in the in the lift with one huge cockroach.
You were not stuck in the cockroach.
No.
Stuck in the lift with a cockroach.
Yes. Yes. Can you imagine the bizarre scene of me running around the lift, then the cockroach also run
trying
around the lift.
Oh my God, chasing
me. So I have to run, ma.
But is it the flying kind?
I don't know.
Well, the flying kind is the worst one.
It's the worst, but this one is so huge. So at the same time, right, I was like, shit, how do I get out of this situation? I was stuck in the lift and I live at 17th floor and I already pressed 17 eh. Somehow my instinct kicked in, right? And I don't even know what I was doing, but I managed to press the nearest floor to me.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out of it. And I managed to do it.
Right.
Ulo, fifth floor, and I managed to get out.
Oh.
And I really like had a meltdown because I was like, oh my God, that's the worst thing that can happen.
Meltdown.
No lah, like I was like, oh my God, shit. You know, like after this thing happens.
Sorry, I'm laughing at it because I can totally imagine myself in the same scenario.
Yeah, and you really feel like you can live through anything. If you can be caught in a lift with a cockroach and you still be calm, right? You can live through anything. That's my biggest fear. And it happened.
I see.
Shit, man.
Then how did you go up to the 17th floor? You took another lift.
I got two lifts, in my estate.
Oh my God. If there's only one lift, then how?
Climb lah. What do you mean then how?
Oh, that's Spider-Man.
There's no other way.
You're coming from Spider-Man.
So what's your fear? One fear? We exchange fear lah.
Also cockroach lor.
Also cockroach.
Yeah,
cockroach.
But you know, here's my interesting story about cockroaches. So when I was young, right, my grandma will find a different ways to keep me occupied, you know, and entertain myself while she cooks and stuff like that, right? So, it's very gross, It's very gross. So one of the things she used to let me play was she would catch cockroaches, right? And then she would This is really very gross. She will catch cockroaches and then she will freeze them into ice cubes.
Why?
In ice cubes. Yeah, why? I don't know. Okay. And then after it is frozen, right, the cockroach is in the ice cube, she will put all the ice cubes into a bag for me. But then I will play with the ice cubes, right?
Oh my goodness.
So it will melt, right? And then I will disintegrate the, continue to squish the cockroaches. So I used to do that when I was a kid. Okay, don't ask me why that is a thing. Okay, but I did it and I think it's just very dirty and unhygienic and I don't even know why she would do that.
It's sick,
eh? Yeah, it's sick, right? But I did that. And then I think, so I started off not scared of cockroaches. One, I used to play with them in ice cubes, but I think
I never thought that I would hear that in a sentence. Yeah. I used to play with cockroaches in ice cubes.
So please listen to more of our podcast because you will hear a lot of mind blowing stuff, right? Totally new stuff. But then when I grew up, I'm so absolutely scared and fearful of cockroaches.
You know why? Because you killed so many of them.
I don't know. I think it's just retribution.
It's like guilt.
It's karma. It's karma.
Karma.
Yeah, karma.
They come and haunt you.
Yeah. So I'm very scared of. I totally just bypasses my prefrontal cortex. It's like I'm just totally amphibian state, in a full on like fight or flight, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I cannot function.
Strange,
when
eh?
I see a cockroach.
It's very weird because you grew up playing with them. Mm.
Oh, another story about cockroaches. Sorry. So last time I stayed in this because I was.
Can we don't talk about cockroaches for too long?
Interesting.
Okay, share your story.
Okay,
first.
So these cockroaches, right? I stayed in this very poor HDB estate that is for those super low income families. Right? So because my dad left us
one room flat.
Yeah, it's just one room flat. So you see a lot of very old people and very poor people, no income kind, right? Because it's subsidized, heavily subsidized. So I lived there alone. I was staying on the second floor. So, you know, second floor, the rubbish chute, right? Mm. A lot of cockroaches, right? So there was once, what I did was, I am very stupid, you know. I went to buy the bygone, right? So I thought of killing them, right? So I did the wrong thing.
Oh
I
my
made
God.
Things worse. So I opened up the rubbish chute,
I
right?
Know.
And then I spray thinking I will kill and they will drop inside, right? But they didn't drop inside the chute. They all ran out of the chute and they ran all over my kitchen. And
oh
I kid you
God.
Not, there were like hundreds of them, like 100 of them. Oh. And they were not big, like they were just like nymphs. They were like super small ones. And then maybe sparingly.
Don't have big ones? Oh, okay.
Adult ones, but there were a lot. Somehow I think it's a nest and lots of babies. And they came out and they crawled everywhere. I totally freaked out because it was a tsunami wave of cockroaches. But then it's very strange, you know, when it's one or two big ones, you get so freaked out, right? When it's so many, somehow, right, you are freaked out and then you kick yourself into survival mode.
No, really?
Yeah, so I didn't run away because tai tuo la, and you know that you got to kill them because if not, they're just going to run everywhere into all the corners of your
so
house.
What do you do?
So I just quickly, I still have my bygone, right? So I spray and then I went to take newspaper and I wrote them into like a big roll, right? And then I started like doing a smack a wally, you know, like smack, 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 smack.
You were alone.
Then I flattened all of them, you know. Yeah, then after that, I look at the battle zone. So that was my very scary. Yes, cockroaches.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare. So, okay, I have a related story. Which is one day.
We're still talking about cockroaches.
Hey, you remember when we were in Penang, we talked about like.
What did we talk about?
Shitting.
Did we?
With Michelle and Cynthia, we talked about that for like 1 hour.
Oh my.
Oh, no, we were talking about that waiting for you to wake up.
Oh, that's why I wasn't part of the conversation.
So we were talking about our
any...
bowels right. and our intestines right. and we went into shapes and sizes
oh,
and everything.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, we talked about that for 1 hour.
Oh my God.
Okay, let me quickly share my story, which is the same thing happened. Mm. But it was my estate. Mm. So they will do this cleaning thing at the estate.
Fumigation.
Fumigation, yes. Right? So apparently, because I never experienced before, but apparently when they fumigate, all the cockroaches run
they
out.
Run the other way, yes.
And then they die on the streets, yes. outside the lift and kind of yes. thing. So one day I came out of my lift and I was very happy. Like I just hop out and and I step into a zanchang.
Oh my God.
Like a war zone of cockroaches.
Were they still struggling alive?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Half of them were alive. Some of them were dead. Mm. But you just imagine like, in front of you were hundreds of cockroaches.
Like carcasses.
Carcasses and some still alive and kicking us, struggling. And I somehow stepped into an empty space between the cockroaches.
Mm.
So I have to hop out along of that area between the cockroaches.
Like playing hopscotch like
yes,
that.
In the small available spaces. Again, the instinct kicked in lah, so you can do it lah. Like somehow you can hop very agile, you know.
Yeah.
But once I hop out, I also mental breakdown like,
oh
what
my.
The freak just happened.
Oh my God, it's gross.
Very scary. So cockroaches, I don't know what's about them.
They just
they
look
really
gross.
Freak me out.
They look gross. They look very menacing.
They look like monsters now, yeah. But like smaller version.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I kept thinking like, you know, guys with six abs, right? The six pack, the underbelly actually look like the underbelly of the cockroach.
Oh, so actually not so attractive, is it?
Yeah, sometimes when I see those guys, when the ab is like very cool. Symmetrical and it's very pronounced, it's tilap, right?
Look like the underbelly, yeah.
Yeah, that true is it's very gross when it's too defined. Mm. You know, when the body fat is too low, it's very gross.
Oh my god.
Yeah, okay, so we've got to move on from cockroaches. So do you have other phobias? Because she asked about three phobias and
I know,
fears.
But, I have another one, which is losing my mind. Like Alzheimer's or dementia. Mm. I think that's like the worst thing.
Ultimate sadness.
Possible, but hopefully when I have Alzheimer's, I can forget that I have Alzheimer's.
That's true.
I don't want to be aware of it. Yeah. So I think the beginning stage is the worst.
When you are still aware that you're losing your mind. Mm. In the process of
I think that's very, very painful. Mm. Then if I'm not aware, then that's fine or whatever. Mm.
Okay.
How about you?
Then mine is loss of freedom.
Okay. And like going to jail because you do something bad.
Yeah, but maybe not as drastic as going to jail, but like more like going back to the office, the cubicle.
Yeah, you won't what?
No, but who
can
knows?
Happen? No, what can happen?
I mean, maybe my business some lap or whatever.
But it won't.
Or maybe someone want to
cheat your money.
Gao xing ping qing. Oh,
but then that would be your own choice.
Oh, talking about gao xing ping qing.
Why leh? Somebody want to qing ni.
Actually, got people want to qing wo one all the time. So I've been looking at the market. Like for example, I asked myself, I said, if let's say 我忽然间觉得我不要做entrepreneur. 对，我不要做那个 企业家。 So what do I want to do? I said if I go back to the corporate world right now, right, and I'm a CTO,
what would you
I'm
do?
A COO, mm. I'm a CEO, or I'm a VP. And also I asked myself, if let's say I continue to stay in MediaCorp,
yeah,
right, which that was my first job, right, where will I be now,
right,
in terms of my career?
Mm.
I think I tell would be a VP or a P, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to check the salary, the every salary. Well, they cannot afford to pay me.
How much? How
so
much do they? How much
do they? Even like a VP, you're making like 11 grand, 12 grand
is
a
it?
Month.
So low, man.
Yeah, like VP la.
Wow.
Yeah, then of course, I think there's a range la. And then depending on the companies as well. But then if you look at the average salaries, there's this portal that 11K? Actually shows all the average. Yeah. It's not a lot. Then I look at
Then
a
freelancer earns more leh.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So much more like an entrepreneur.
Correct.
Then so
the,
much
the
more.
Limit is the sky, like I say.
Yeah.
Right? Really, when you work for yourself, that is it. But of course, there will be days and when there's drought seasons where they have no job also. La.
Sure.
There's
yeah.
no security of a paycheck from month to month.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very interesting because I was like, no, you know, you guys cannot afford to pay me.
Yeah.
I can't. This how yeah. pay, I cannot survive,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I easily make more. So okay, anyway, loss of freedom, going back to cubicle. Do you have any other fears?
I'm very lazy to think of more fears already.
Okay, so I have one more lah.
Okay, you
okay,
say.
I'm the 很用功的学生, right?
Okay, so, top students. Yeah.
Mine, I think I brought it out earlier when I was answering the question on creative energies.
Yeah.
Is a state of feeling uninspired. So like a stagnation when there is no growth. So that's why I'm huge on self-development and self-growth because I feel that when you're not growing, you're stagnating and in fact, you are dying. It's atrophying.
Oh, okay.
I feel like when you're not growing, you're not just... staying stagnant, it's almost like atrophying already because the world is moving so fast and you very soon you will not be relevant.
Right.
So you
degenerating.
Yes, you've got to upgrade your skills and also your mind. I think at the end of it, you know, you need to know how to level up on your growth in terms of your mind management.
Right.
Mm.
That's a big one.
So next question from Stacey.
Come, let me read it. Next question. What are your top three pet peeves?
Okay, I go first, huh? Okay, the first one, very easy. Guys who don't wash their hands after they pee. I always go to the toilet. Those who go into the rooms, you can't tell, right? What they do inside. But those, especially the urinals, you knew that they took the pee-pee in your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then they fling after. And then after that, they you think they will go to the sink to wash their hands. No, they just walk out. They just march right out. And I'm like, so grotesque, right? Then the worst is when I go
out. Maybe they wash their hands with their pee, though?
No, they didn't. It was so gross. And then you know what's the worst thing? When I go out, I see them holding hands with a girlfriend. Ah, so gross.
Shit. Okay.
It's the ultimate gross thing. God. Okay. Then
so you must do the girlfriend the benefit of, you know, like telling, hey, you know what happened to your boyfriend?
I'm like, oh, you're a boy. How come you're like that?
Very scary, huh?
Yeah, that had an eye down. Oh my god, this boy has no hygiene. Okay. Then my other pet peeve is unethical sales tactics.
Okay, okay.
People who are business people, but
right,
they have very unethical sales tactics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then another one is, the last one is people who love themselves a little too much.
Oh.
Yeah, you can actually tell.
Narcissists.
Yeah, and you know when they walk in and when they talk about themselves and whatever they do, it's...
You mean
it's,
all topics lead back to themselves?
Yes,
that kind of
you know,
people.
Like all roads lead to Rome, but it's all, every conversation leads back to
and they
them.
Don't listen.
Yeah, and they have just air. They're like, oh, it's like, I'm better than you.
Oh my
I'm
God.
So in love. I think, don't get me wrong, I advocate you loving yourself.
Yep.
Having very strong self-esteem and self-love is very important. But not like, oh, I'm so in love with myself. I'm so good. I'm better than the rest of you.
Mm.
You know, and a bit like condescending towards other people. I don't like them. Some people have really indeed very charmed lives. And then they kind of put that on and then they condescend, you know.
Have you met anyone like that recently?
Yeah, I always and constantly. And on social media, actually, you see a lot of it as well. People were flaunting their lives and being so in love.
Okay.
I'm so lucky. I'm the luckiest bitch on earth, you know. And I've got...
Too blessed to be stressed.
Yeah, I'm a poster husband. Look at me, you know. Everything.
Sometimes I feel like, I don't know. Because I feel like I don't know whether I am guilty of doing the same thing also. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we post about something like, oh, you know, this good thing happened to me. It sounds like it's flaunting or something.
Well, it definitely is. It's a fine line between... They're all sharing, right? They're all sharing. But can't you just authentically sharing, or are you bragging? Or are you purposefully trying to make people feel bad because, you know, you are so haolian? You know
I feel like
I mean?
For some of these people, it's not purposefully also. It can be very
mindful.
Subconscious one.
Yes, that's why.
Yeah.
So it's the ego, right?
Yeah,
the
long.
Ego is so overpowering.
The ego has taken over, right? Okay.
So
how about mine? Hey, you finished yours already?
I finished all three.
Okay.
Pet peeves.
Mine is very strange. I don't like hard things on my bed.
Hard.
Yeah,
oh my God, it sounds weird.
No, wait. No, come on. This one, our podcast right, is for kids. Kids also can listen. Okay, it's not an adult. It's not that kind of adult podcast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Although we can do an episode like that.
So why would
that
you
means,
find hard things on the bed?
For example, hanger.
Oh.
Oh my God, I hate it when somebody leaves a hanger on my bed.
But why? Because you'll sit on it? Or
no,
when
because
there?
I feel like hard things shouldn't be on the bed.
Also, even when you see it, it just irks
me. Irks me. Like, I feel like I might potentially sit on it.
So if it's something soft, like a soft toy or a towel?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's totally fine. Because a bed is for you to lie down and you might like jump on your bed and that kind of thing. Mm. If there's a hard thing on your bed, right, and you jump on it, you might injure yourself.
Oh wow. You think very far.
Okay, not very important, but anyway. Okay, my second pet peeve is people who cough or sneeze without closing their mouth next to me.
Oh.
Or sometimes when in line, right, like queuing up, there are people who breathe down your neck.
Mm.
Walao, damn disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah, and I really cannot take it then. I was just like, turn around instead.
Yeah, actually the coughing thing, come to think of it, is my pet peeve as well. Especially when I'm trapped in an
airplane.
Oh my God.
Do you wear a mask?
I don't. But
you should, you know.
But you know what? I always, last time, especially when my immunity level was quite low, you know, before the days before I had my meltdown, I was always falling sick. I was so prone to catching a bug on a plane.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah, a plane is a hotbed of viruses
exactly.
And all that. So you should wear a mask, really.
But it very gawai leh when you wear and then you breathe into your own like moisture.
No,
like,
I have to recommend this mask to you where it has a filter.
Oh, show notes.
Show notes, okay. I don't know where you can buy it. In Singapore, I don't know where
you
can
buy it.
In Japan.
Oh, okay.
So you can slot this wet tissue thing and that acts like a humidifier kind of thing.
Okay.
And it filters out. So you're not breathing in the same air.
There's
a filter going
on.
I don't know how they do it, but
it's because
it makes you feel 100 times better.
I see.
Yeah, you can sit beside a smelly person and you still feel like
okay. I've
seen
it before. It's the one with like lavender and all the different like
got
floral,
different flavors.
Oh, flavors.
Why you want to do that kind of episode, is it?
Flavors. Yeah.
Next question
is, okay, so we have moved on from Stacey. Stacey had three questions.
Moved on from Stacey. So putting, she has been left behind.
3 hours later. Still answering Stacey's question. Oh my God. Okay, so next question is from JGJ.
Who is that?
JGJ 961022. Okay, yeah. Then he or she asked, said, absolutely loving the podcast.
Yay.
What are you guys' thoughts on toxic parents and how to cope with toxic familial relationships in which you depend on them for pocket money and housing, but okay. they are also very bad for your mental and emotional health. Okay, so we have something to say about this, right?
Yeah, but we'll do it in another podcast.
Yes, because this is an excellent, excellent question. And yep. because both Rebecca and myself, we have had our fair share of toxic parents, right?
Yes.
Parents, in terms of our family, there's toxicity. And generally also, maybe even friends, like toxicity in relationships, basically. When it comes to challenging relationships, we realize we have so much we want to say. We will do it injustice to this question if we answered it in this Q&A. It requires a whole episode on its own. So we will be doing it in a separate episode, yep. okay? So JGJ 961022, please look out for another episode where we talk about challenging relationships, all right? So okay. we just wanted to tell you that we will be addressing your question. And yes. great question, by the way. All right, so moving on.
Next question, come.
Next question.
Let me read it. This one?
Yes, this one.
Okay. This question is from Jane Lee. Hi, Jane.
Hi,
this
Jane.
Is the Jane that we know. No, right?
Not the funny Jane.
Oh, not the funny Jane.
Yeah.
So Jane asks, hi, Danny. I know you have your podcast, but do you produce podcasts?
And the answer is yes.
Yeah. So this is something that we do now, right?
Yes, we have a new offering because for some reason, we will be producing Cynthia's podcast.
Cynthia from Super Farmers.
Super Farmers, right? Then this inquiry just came in a couple of days ago from my friend. So yes, we have started to offer and we decided that we can do this because we are enjoying creating podcasts for people and we have the equipment and we feel that for people who are not going to dabble in this for a prolonged period of time, if let's say you want to do a limited series, then you wouldn't want to invest so much money into like a mixer or the mics or whatever or the cables, they're all very expensive. Yep. So we are thinking of we can actually bring the setup to you, we can set it up and we can do the recording with you and then do the post-production later. And here's the other fun part, which is where Rebecca comes in.
Oh, okay.
So what do you do?
I was enjoying listening to you talk.
Oh. Yeah, so what else could we do?
Okay, so along with our podcast service, right, production service, we also do a photo shoot.
So fun.
So that's the fun thing, right? That's the thing that we do before you do the actual work of recording your podcast, right? So we go to a studio and then we will take some publicity, a series of publicity shots for you, which you can use like a header for your podcast.
Yeah, like cover art.
Correct. Yeah. And then also for individual episodes.
Exactly.
So you will have the artwork to go with your podcast. So it will make it even more interesting, enticing.
Yes. I mean, you look at the photos that we've been showing for our episodes, right? It's so fun. I mean, it's quite vain, but it's also fun. It's part of the positioning.
I think once in a while, we indulge in some narcissistic fun. It's okay.
It's fun. And also, it's basically what Rebecca does best, which is taking portraiture and photos as well. And it's fun to be in a studio. And also, I think that as creators, you need to have these different things, you need to also visualize how it's going to be, and it gives you the creative energy as well when you finally see the photos and you go, holy cow, this is really coming together, this is how it can be so fun, you know, and you can visualize how the podcast is going to be. And you know, we are visual creatures, right? So I feel that the branding is actually very important, although at the end of the day it's the content, right? But the branding and positioning can also excite people, and I think it's part of how you can package your podcast. So that became a new offering,
a thing.
Yes. And this also again goes back to our earlier points that we've been peppering throughout our series of our podcast, right? Which is you don't know what you can offer until you start doing things. And sometimes the opportunity can come knocking on your door just like that, just by you showing up. And then people will say, hey Dan, you know, do you do this? Because it seems like you can do this. So I have someone whom I can gai xiao, who needs someone, can you do? So you're like, okay, yeah, I think we can do it. And it becomes a real thing.
And we have had quite a few, right? You have a friend also asking, right?
This
about podcasts. Oh, this is the friend.
Yes. Okay. But there will be more. So when I kind of forwarded this inquiry to Rebecca yesterday, Rebecca was like, what kind of sorcery is this?
Yeah, very strange. Eh? It's like the universe is listening or something like that.
So this is fun. This is fun. All right. Cool. So moving on.
Next one.
Some questions from Linus. And I think Linus' questions are like, whoa.
Thanks for being so supportive. Ask so many questions.
Yeah. Okay. So his first question is, what are the best books you still refer to over the past 5 years? Yeah. So do you have any 好介绍?
Okay. This book, right, that I read, I really recommend everyone to read it at least once. Okay. This book is called The Investigation.
Oh, I haven't read it before.
By Peter Weiss.
Wow.
It's about the Holocaust, actually.
Oh.
So what happened is that after the Holocaust, right, there were this series of trials. And this book basically is non-fiction. Mm-hmm. So this author, he very brilliantly, he actually took these testimonies that were given in during the trials, and he arranged them and he created a play out of it. Mm. So it's a drama. Mm. It's a, yeah. So the book is in a form of testimony, actually.
I see.
So the testimonies come from both sides. Basically, the people who were involved in the Holocaust, who perpetuated the crimes, and also the people who gave the testimonies as people who were imprisoned, yeah, and who went to the labor camps and all that, the concentration camps. So it's very horrifying because, right, all these testimonies were real. So you would read about the reasons behind why, for example, some of the people, right, they were just ordinary people, but how they managed to kill so many fellow human beings. You know, how they could close one eye and burn the prisoners or torture people. Yeah, so it gives you an insight into evil. What is evil? Particularly, right, it really makes you think about the banality of evil, which is that evil doesn't always happen like in a very grand way. Because for the people on the ground during the Holocaust, right, it was really on the ground, you know, and a lot of them were just soldiers following instructions. And they thought that they were doing good. They thought that they were doing it for the country, or because this was the war, right? So they had to do their duty. But every one of these actions accumulated into millions and millions of people who were murdered during the Holocaust. So it's a very, very heavy book, lah. But I feel that it's something that we all need to read, because it reminds you that it can be very easy to do evil things. And it can be very easy to do things that don't seem evil, but actually is. It's an important book, I think. And what's chilling is that it's real. This is not a work of fiction. Although it does read like a work of fiction, because you don't believe that these kind of things can happen in real life. Can you imagine me and you? We're ordinary people, but we are able to put people in gas chambers and gas them, and then we burn them or we bury people alive.
There were experiments about humans, right? It's like when pushed,
the Stanford
prison
experiments.
And like, you know, like when pushed to extreme, you know, you can, the human is actually very capable of doing this kind of thing, you know, to, when, you know, that's very horrifying.
Correct. So like the Stanford prison experiment, right, which you guys can look up, it basically puts normal people into a prison, and then it separates people into prisoners and like policemen. Yeah, so in that situation, you'll see, no, like,
when given authority and power, you will abuse it, right? And you start harming people.
Correct. Yeah. And even though we think, before we get into this experiment, we'll think like, oh, even if I'm giving the given the authority, I will be like a nice person. I won't abuse it. But a lot of them end up being, they themselves are surprised, you know, by what they will do when they are given so much power. There's some strange pleasure in being evil. Yeah, so that's something that, you know, we are not aware. We can very easily do a lot of things that's evil.
So you feel that this is necessary literature that everybody has to read?
Yes. And from very early on, essential, if possible.
About the extreme sides and faces of humanity and human, right?
Yeah, we are not as kind and angelic as we think we are. You know, it's important to know that. So that's part of the awareness that we need. Yeah. Instead of thinking that we are perfect, we are great people, we must see that actually we're not that great. And that we can very easily descend.
But we're not careful, yes.
We can very, we can very easily descend into this kind of evil behaviors. Yeah, so that's my book. It's a very heavy book.
Anything else?
Why don't you share your next book first?
Okay, so my book, which I really loved, and it was part of my, I call it my healing trilogy. Like when I was on my recovery after my mental meltdown, these were the books that were that I read and were prescribed to be my by Corinne. And they are still very powerful books in my life. And the first one is called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And he has another book, which is a more recent book. It's called A New Earth Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And I think these two books are equally good, and they are kind of like a part one and part two. So the first part is The Power of Now. Basically, the quintessential message is about how we should not live in the past or the future. All we have is the present, and why being present, and the present is a present. It's a gift. That's why it's called present. We have to live in the present at all moments, right? And that's all we have. So I love that concept. And also the second book, which is A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, he then graduates to talking about how the root cause of a lot of humans' suffering comes from the fact that we are very attached to our ego and the super ego. So, you know, like I was talking about how people are so in love with themselves, right? That egocentricness is a very, very strong thing for them. And when it comes to a lot of emotions, anger, frustration, expectations, disappointments, it's because we attach ourselves too much to the ego and we need to win, you know, that, and that actually causes us a lot of suffering when we are so egocentric. So I love that. Yeah, those two books.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got other books as well, but maybe you can share yours some more.
Okay. Let me just add, because I recently read The Power of Now also, and the introduction, right, is one of the best I ever read. Like, even if you don't read the rest of the book, right, just read the introduction, because he talked about how he had very bad depression for many, many years, until he was 29. And then one day, something happened, you have to read the book, and then when he woke up the next morning, right, he heard the birds chirp outside his window, and he never heard birds chirp in that way before. Actually, it wasn't that he never heard birds chirp, but he never heard it that way.
That way, yes.
And he never actually really heard it because he was never in the now, right? Mm-hmm. He was trapped in his depression. Mm-hmm. So it was the most beautiful thing. It was like music to him. And he went out and the sun, the clouds and everything just sparkled. And he was in a trance for like 3 weeks or something like that. He was just so blissed out and joyful. Yeah, so, you know, like hearing a message like that from a guy who experienced something like that. Yeah, it's nice lah. It gives me hope. Like, oh, one day I can wake up and like, ta-da.
Yeah, it's the same things, but a whole new experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So my next book is called On Writing Well by William Zinser. So it's a writing book. Okay, and it sounds damn boring. But it's so super useful because it tells you a lot of the things that you should do when you write and you shouldn't do when you write. Yeah. So if you're interested in writing, you can read this book. Because right, I only read it once, right, and a lot of things stuck in my mind. For example, one of the things that he said is just write the most honest thing you know. Because a lot of people have trouble writing, right? They think like writing is impossible. But actually, all you need to do is just be honest and write down exactly what you honestly feel.
Yes.
The second thing would be to eliminate unnecessary words. Okay, so you don't need flowery language. You can just say what you say, what you want to say to the point. And you can write beautifully. You know, keep your sentences as short as possible. Okay, so it's very nerdy, but go and read this book if you're interested in how to write well.
I think for me, right, writing, I think that's a very good tip you have there about writing honestly, because I think you are an expert of you, right? So when you write from that perspective and that point, it becomes easier.
Correct.
Because you're just being authentic and honest and you're sharing experiences. So it's, you remove all that stress, right? About having to cook up this grand story and dramatizing things.
Or like think about, you don't even need to think about, oh, what style should I have? How should I sound to other people?
Yeah.
No.
And my teachers always schooled me since young that to write well, you do not need like very explosive, like flowery words. Just go with... She says a good writing is simple writing that is effective so that it moves people. You know, it has this energy and it affects people. It can move. So you can do that with very simple words. That's what she taught me.
Yes.
And that actually freed me up into like writing simply and beautifully. And I think it's so nice when there's simple
writing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when I read books, right, some even very acclaimed books I read and I just feel that, the rhythm is very salah. Like, just too convoluted. The sentence structure, I wish that they would just write simpler.
To the point.
To the point and simply. I mean, why is it so convoluted, you know?
One example is Walden. You know Walden, right? By Henry Thoreau. It's this book that everybody quotes, like about this guy who went to live in the woods and he promotes solitude and living with nature. Have you never heard of this book before?
No.
Anyway, it's such a good book, right? The message is great. But when you read the book, right, you're bored to death.
Oh, my goodness.
So many unnecessary words. I wish you would come to the point. Or somebody should do like a simplified version.
Yes,
right?
You lo.
Maybe I should. Yeah, should, or maybe there really is. I just haven't found it.
I'm sure there are other people who feel the same way.
Yeah.
Okay, another book that I would want to recommend. Actually, I have so many books I want to recommend. This is a series. It's called Conversations with God. And it's total of 9 books actually, but I read parts 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And it's by Neil Donald Walsh. And it might sound like it's a very biblical book and a very religious book, but it's nothing that of that sort.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting journey. I think it was a page turner for me. I actually read cover to cover and then cover to cover and then cover to cover. I like six wow. covers. Yeah, I couldn't put down the series, books 1, 2, and 3. And what was so interesting was the premise was very interesting. It's just this guy, the writer Neil, he was just very miserable in life. And one day he was just lamenting and he really questioned God. He was so frustrated. He actually asked God, like, why am I having such a fucked up life? Like, why am I so miserable? Mm. And what happened was he heard an answer. He heard an answer like, oh, where did that come from? You know? And that was when he started to have this exchange with God. So it was like a, what we're doing, like ask us anything. It was like a ask God anything kind of thing. It was a Q&A and it was a whole series of Q&A. And they are all very interesting questions. Like, for example, are we alone in this universe? Is there another planet? Are there aliens? Are there other civilizations? You know, is there a conspiracy theory? You know, are we, what are we meant to do? What's the meaning of life? Is there a God? You know, what do we not know? You know, things like that. Just all the big philosophical questions. And the thing is, of course, it's, people will question, like, did you really have the conversation with God? Are you trying to be funny and things like that, right? And a lot of people ridicule him and stuff. But he actually said that there is no way he could have articulated the answer so well. And I must tell you, the answers are just brilliant. He says that the answers are beyond his comprehension because it covers everything. It talks about the economics, talks about the government, the institutions, it talks about money, it talks about our history, it talks about physics, it talks about religion, everything. And he's not so knowledgeable. So he said all the answers must have come from God in one way or another. And then he goes on to say that it's not about who God talks to. It's not that God chose to talk to me. It's who's listening. So that was amazing. And I love the conversations we've got, 1, 2, 3. Highly, highly recommend.
Highly recommend. I also read book one. I read the entire book in Kino. Because I was so entranced by the book.
Entranced, right?
Same as you. I looked at, I couldn't stop reading. So I finished the whole book. I didn't even need to buy it.
I remember I finished book three when I was on the toilet.
You were on the toilet?
I was on the toilet.
For the entire duration of the book?
Not the whole book three, but towards the end of it, because it was like, is there an answer? Is there an answer? Because there was this grand question, right? Like, what is the meaning of it? Or what is it? What is
so
it?
So what is it? Yeah, tell us.
So I can't remember it. That's why I have to read again. But I remembered that I was very anxious in finding out if there was an answer. Is there an A to the Q, right?
Did you get an aha moment?
I was very sad. I was tearing at the end because it was, it became, you know, it was a big book, right? So towards the end, only a few pages left. And I was like, I don't think this is going anywhere because I don't think the answer will be revealed at the end. Whatever was the point of it, all right. And it wasn't. I think the whole point is that you have to leave room for mystery. And I think that is a huge lesson.
I love
that. You have to leave room for all the bad stuff. You have to leave room for unanswered questions.
I love that.
And it's a quest. And maybe we're not supposed to know. Yeah. So that was beautiful.
So it's not about the answer, huh? Maybe it's about the questions that we ask.
The seeking and the question and the journey. Yes. Maybe that's the whole point.
So don't be so, we shouldn't be so set on finding answers.
An answer, yes.
Yeah.
Leave room for mystery. Leave room for discomfort. Leave room for the bad shit that happens in your life. Leave room. For that. Allow for it.
So nice. I'm loving this book thing, this book question. Because I love books.
Yes, a lot
I
of
I can
wisdom.
Talk about it forever.
Both of us are bookworms.
Yeah, you also, right? I think we read a lot of the same books.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's do
books?
A full episode.
What other
okay?
books do you have?
Okay, my last book, right? Oh no.
So we just took a look at the recording. Like, what the heck? Why are we at 58 minutes?
It is the longest ever.
You know what? I think we have to split into two.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just continue.
Great.
Just continue. Yes.
Okay.
We can split. It's so long we have to split into two.
Then we can give 10 more book recommendations.
Yeah. So anyway, what do you
okay,
have?
Okay, my now? Book, I this book, right, is called Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I read this book when I was 12.
Did they make this into a movie? They did, right?
They probably did, They did. Yeah. Mm. I mean, this book is a classic. Mm. I read it when I was 12. I remember I read it overnight and I finished it.
Wow.
And maybe that was also one thing that set the traveling bug in me.
Mm.
It made the world seem so interesting. Mm. Have you read the book before?
No.
Okay, please go and read it.
Mm-hmm.
This book was set in the, I can't remember, maybe 18th century. So when the steamship and the trains just came on. So this guy, right, he made a bet with the gentleman at his club, right, that he could travel around the world in 80 days just using steamships and trains. And there was no internet last time. Yeah, so everything, it was very hard for everything to go on schedule. So it was about how this guy and his servant, they travel around the world and all the adventures that happened to them.
I see.
Beautiful, lovely story.
So did he travel the world? Did he manage?
I shouldn't. No. That? I won't tell you. I won't tell you. Go and read.
It's either yes or no.
Go and read. Go and read.
Okay. Another book that's highly recommended. I love all things Pema Chodron. Okay, so that's
I haven't
this
actually
book.
Read her, you know.
Please go and pick up any book. Maybe at Kinokuniya, you also like read in one sitting kind.
Okay.
So this book, of all, every book is good, but this book is where I find that it was one of the first books of hers that I've read, and I find that it is something that I gift a lot of my friends.
Right.
Okay. And it's called When Things Fall Apart. Okay. So it talks about compassionate living. It talks about, you know, happiness, wisdom, and how we can have peace even in the most painful circumstances.
Okay.
So like when my friends are struggling with something, like a loss of a loved one, or, you know, struggling with work, or, you know, being ill and things like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel very helpless. I don't know what to say, what to do, how to encourage my friend. And I feel that there's a lot of solace and comfort and wisdom contained in the book. And that's the best gift I can give a friend. Mm. And I think that's, this is the book that I usually go for when things fall apart.
Wow.
And please check out Pema Chodron.
Pema Chodron.
Yeah, PemaChodron. We will have it, them in the show notes.
Yes.
Yeah. Then next question from Linus. His question is there such a thing as being too smart?
You can't ask me this question. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
You don't
know?
So,
Daniel?
So, I thought about this, right? And I think that... Hey guys, okay, so this Q&A session, right, became super long in the end because we wanted to be very thorough with our answers to your questions.
So we've decided to split this episode into two episodes for the first time in Lito.
Oh my goodness.
Lito podcast history.
Yes.
So you can look forward to the next episode next week.
Yes, next Sunday we will release part two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
See ya.
See ya.